All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, August something, the 10th, 2017. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out just how rigged the game is, and reminding the dark that I'm not afraid of it, it's afraid of me. I'm Morps. Tonight I am drinking Old Smoky's Blue Fire Moonshine, and then I'll be chasing that with a Newcastle. And tonight I have Mad Men.
Hola. I'm drinking Maker's 46, and I brought the entire bottle into my room, so I'm chasing it with more Maker's 46 if I run out of stuff in my glass.
Well, I've been trying to make the moonshine last, and swishing it's a bad idea, so usually you just shoot it. And I've been told it's good if you mix it with, like, make a screwdriver with it, but I haven't tried that.
You have flavored moonshine, don't you?
No.
Okay.
No, this is just straight 120 proof. Moonshine.
Oh. Then it should be close to flavorless. Yeah, stick it in whatever. You're just making whatever you're putting in an alcoholic.
Like I said, I was told it's good in orange juice, so. But, I've yet to try it. Actually, I was thinking this weekend it might be worth trying in my coffee. Go for an Irish cream.
You're not going to get the creamy taste of Irish cream, but you'll get blitzed in the morning and help with the hangover you have from Friday night.
You know, shit keeps going the way it's going, man. Well, they're already ahead of us in the chat room, so let's go ahead and get to the story. It's from USA Today. You will be chipped eventually.
No, I won't. I'll run, damn it. I'll run.
So. Story is from the Los Angeles version of the paper. You will get chipped. It's just a matter of time. In the aftermath of the Wisconsin firm embedding microchips in employees last week to ditch company badges and corporate logons, the internet has entered a full-throated debate. Religious activists are so appalled they've been penning nasty one-star reviews of the company, Three Square Market, on Google, Glassdoor, and social media. Okay, that's stupid. They don't protest people getting pacemakers or, you know, LASIK. Why should they give a fuck about a little RFID tag in their hand?
Mark of the chip. The mark of the beast. The same thing happened when barcodes were introduced.
They think the RFID tag is the mark of the beast?
Yep.
I thought the mark of the beast was supposed to be like the number 666 tattooed across your forehead or something.
Generally said that, but once the RFID chip is in you, you don't really know what it's transmitting. But if you look at Revelations, in order to do commerce or get employed, you must accept the mark of the beast. If you don't accept the mark of the beast, you're killed.
Well, continuing with the article, because there's some parallels there. It will happen to everybody, says Noel Chesley, 49, associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. But not this year, and not in 2018. Maybe not my generation, but certainly that of my kids. Gene Munster. His name is really Munster? I thought they made that up for a TV show. Gene Munster, an inventor and analyst at Loop Industries, is an advocate for augmented reality, virtual reality, and other new technologies. He thinks embedded chips in human bodies is 50 years away. In 10 years, Google, Facebook, Apple, and Tesla will not have chipped their employees chipped, he says. You'll see some extreme forward-looking tech people adopting it, but not large companies. The idea of being chipped has too much negative connotation today, but by 2067, we will have been desensitized by the... I know he's just adding 50 to the current year, but that seems like a really specific year, 2067. We will have been desensitized by the social stigma, Munster says. For now, three Square Market, or 32M, hasn't offered concrete benefits for getting chipped beyond badges and logon stats. Munster says it was a PR stunt for the company to get attention to its product and certainly succeeded. Getting the small startup airplay on CBS, NBC, and ABC, and generating headlines worldwide. The company, which sells corporate cafeteria kiosks designed to replace vending machines, would like the kiosks to handle cashless transactions. This would go beyond paying with your smartphone. Instead, chipped customers would simply wave their hands in lieu of Apple Pay and other mobile payment systems. The benefit doesn't start there. In the future, consumers could zip through airport scanners, sans passport, if driver's licenses, open doors, start cars, operate home automation systems, all of it, if the technology pans out with a simple wave of the hand. So RFID blocking gloves, I think, are going to be in vogue, because it's easy enough with RFID chips and Proxy cards to kind of walk behind somebody. And there's actually a video online of people doing it, because you can order the shit on eBay for like less than $50 in some cases, to walk behind somebody, you know, with palming this thing that takes a read of their badge. And since most people keep their badge in their wallet, what do? You act like you're going to grab their ass. You just don't. You just swipe this thing near their butt. Or, you know, if you can actually see the badge hanging off their belt, you just do that when they're in line or, you know, on the bus or something. And you can clone the badge, because usually what these things do is there's no encryption in them. It's not like a challenge and response. It's not got like a key on it, like a private key and a public key or any of that crap. It's a barcode. It's a serial number. So it's going to read it. It's going to get a 128-character number off the thing, probably. I'm guessing it's that long. Your Prox cards are usually more like a 32-character number, by the way. And they're going to look that number up in a database, and that's how they're going to say, oh, you have rights to this, or oh, you have a credit account with us, or we're allowed to open the door. But I'm thinking the moment they start using this shit for airport transactions, you're going to see people getting mugged and their hands chopped off. And, you know, people going through the airport line with, you know, the fresh welt of having the new RFID chip injected in their hand that they ripped out of somebody else. Oh, damn, that'd be a way for STDs to spread. You know, the, you know, bloodborne diseases. It's like, what'd you do? I stole somebody else's RFID chip and got AIDS.
That's why you bleached that fucker before you inject it into you.
So, let's see. And then they go on to say, not a GPS tracker. The embedded chip is not a GPS tracker, which is what many critics initially feared. Of course not. They're not that small yet. However, many analysts believe future chips will track our every move. For example, pets for years have been embedded with chips to store their name and owner contact. Indeed, 32M isn't the first company to embed chips in employees. In 2001, Applied Digital Solutions installed the Vera chip to access medical records, but the company eventually changed hands and stopped selling the chip in 2010. In Sweden, Biohack says nearly 3,000 customers have had the chip embedded to do many things, including ride the national rail system without having to show the conductor a ticket. In the U.S., Dangerous Things, a Seattle-based firm, that's a cool name for a company, Dangerous Things, says it has sold tens of thousands of chips to consumers via its website. The chip and installation cost about $200. After years of being a subculture, the time is now for chips to be more commonly used, says Amal Graf. Hard to say names. Grafstra, founder of Dangerous Things. We're going to start seeing chip implants get the same realm of acceptance as piercings and tattoos do now. In other words, they'll be more visible, but not mainstream yet. It becomes a part of you the way the cell phone does, Grafstra says. You can never forget it, you can't lose it, and you have the capability to communicate with machines in a way you couldn't before.
I'm going to argue that one. I can key in a code into a machine now. It just might take a second.
So, actually, Don't Ask in the chat room has an excellent point. By the time this guy's talking, you know, in the time frame this guy's talking about getting chipped, they're going to have facial recognition, biometrics. You know, the stuff's going to get cheap enough that, yeah, they're going to track your every move, and they're not going to need the chip to do it. I think you're absolutely right, Don't Ask. I 100% agree with you that the facial recognition, because the other one that they do is they do weights, they do sensors on the floor so they can detect weight going across it, and that's how they do some of the location tracking in some of the higher-end security systems. Because, you know, it's like, okay, the system has picked you up, you weigh a certain amount, and, you know, they can track that specific amount of weight moving around. So, oh, God, I'm trying to remember that there was a movie, like, in the 90s where some burglars were living in a model home, and they knew it had sensors in the floor. Back then, they were just primitive, you know, on or off kind of thing. So they had these, like, I want to say cigarette packs they were using to mark where it was safe to walk. And the entire time, they were acting like it wasn't real, like they weren't certain that it was real until one of them fell on it and set off the alarm. So I'm just trying to remember. I don't remember the movie now. It's just really funny watching it because the comedians who were playing the crooks were, you know, doing all this stupid bad parkour to get down this hallway. Anyways, that point aside, skip ahead a bit in the article here. Get used to it. Consults Cherry. 10 years ago, employees didn't look at corporate email over the weekend. Now they now we do, whether we like it or not. He says, be it wearable technology or embedded chip, the always-on connected chip is going to be part of our lives. She says. So I don't know. I think you've got enough people carrying cell phones that you don't need a chip in your hand.
Yeah. I don't think the chip's going to become popular for businesses. They'll still issue you the ID card or maybe an app for your cell phone. I can see parents chipping their children, though, treating them like lost pets.
You know, I could see that, too.
Like, my kid's been abducted. Here's his RFID signal. Because parents are crazy and they'll do stupid that.
Yeah, but they'll have to put it someplace where it's hard to get at. They wouldn't put it in the hand. It's easy enough to tape down the latch in a microwave and stick your hand in for 2 seconds. No, they'll be doing like you do your pet and doing the, you know, the small of the back. Fine. Maybe the base of the neck. That'd be a good place for it, don't you think?
Yeah. No one really likes to cut on their neck.
You know, someplace. Someplace where it's like, you know, you can get the speech that it's like, you know, you just, you know, trust me as your doctor, don't try to remove it.
Oh, yeah, and you have to, if you're doing it with children, you have to think, is this girl going to be a cutter one day? You don't want to stick it anywhere where the razor blade's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, you could totally see kids if they remember where it is, right? They could just, you know, cut it out. So, but I mean, the webbing of your hand, you can get it out. Might not be pleasant. You might need a stitch or two afterwards, but so actually, if it's small enough to be injected, it's probably small enough to be removed with a syringe as well. Although I don't know that I'd want to try personally, but I bet you could probably get somebody who could do it.
I don't know if doctors are going to be that good, because getting a vein is difficult, and once you get into a vein, the blood wants to go into the syringe. This thing's not going to be anywhere where it's being pumped around, so they're going to have to line the syringe up the correct way and then suck it in there precisely. Nah. They're going to go in with tweezers.
They're going to split it open with a razor and take the tweezers to get it out. Now, while we've been talking about this story, how many people have been rubbing the webbing on their hand where one of these would go?
I haven't been. I've been petting a cat.
So, because yeah, yes, I might have touched the webbing of my hand a couple times going, is there anything in there? You know, you wake up after a procedure. Oh yeah, and we installed your chip for you. Damn it.
No, that didn't happen to me after procedure. They did ask if I wanted something to calm my stomach. Ask how is this going to be administered before saying yes.
I'm afraid to ask. I don't know that. I don't know that I want to know.
Yep, nobody does.
I can guess, and I'm not happy with the where I'm thinking the guess is going. So,
yeah, I think this guy's wrong. Companies aren't going to be chipping their employees. It was just a gimmick to get new.
I think you're right about that. So, but I don't know if your boss came up to you and said, "Get chipped or get out."
Bye.
Yeah.
I would have to be making quite a bit of money to think about it. And now that I'm thinking, if I'm making that much money, if I was responsible, I wouldn't need the job probably for a while. So I could say no.
I'm just like Futurama. It's just like getting your hand pierced.
Oh, yeah. They chipped him. Here's your job.
Of course, then they use the claw end to get the chips out when you weren't.
You're going to be fired. Not a problem. I've been fired before. Out of a cannon, into the sun. I love that.
Great show. All right. Let's.
If we want to mark on a calendar, I'm saying we're not doing this in 100 years.
Well, in 100 years, the chips will be small enough that if they really want to chip you, they'll slip it into your drink or something.
Oh, yes. Is it acid resistant? And how long before I shit it out?
Actually, no. In 100 years, we'll probably have full-on ghost in the show. You won't need the chip. You'll have the whole brain implant. So, actually, hell, we'll probably have that in 20.
I may or may not go for that. I'm kind of iffy on.
Probably wouldn't do Gen 1. I might, but I probably wouldn't do Gen 1. I'd probably do Gen 2, maybe 3. Want to make sure, you're not going to wake up retarded or something.
I wasn't able to do math. Now I like spaghetti.
That would kind of suck, wouldn't it?
We've given
you your cyber brain implant. You now have the ability to communicate with machines, control cybernetic limbs, and unfortunately, you really like pudding.
I like pudding. Did I make myself?
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. It's like, yes, we've given him one of the most advanced neural implants in the world. Unfortunately, he rejected it. He now draws on the walls. Oh, that'll be a whole new pharmaceutical bonanza, won't it?
Yes.
Oh, jeez, no. Something they never addressed in Ghost in the Shell, but... Okay, so think about this. You have your cybernetic body, right? They're going to finance them the way you finance anything else that's big and expensive in this day and age, like cars. Except these things are going to be always on, internet connected, and required to live. You don't make your payment? Oh, you're now retarded. We're putting your brain on minimal until you make your payments.
Oh, no, you become a head in a box. You just can't move. You're now quadriplegic. Or,
God.
We no longer support this model. Think
no, the Apple model, yeah.
Body.
God.
Don't buy the iPhone body. The iBody, don't go with that. Go for Android. They brick less often.
Oh, shit. All right. Next one up. Or first story, next one up. I don't know how you want to do this. This is from Softpedia. Walt Disney Company is the target of a class action lawsuit claiming the company is tracking children via its apps installed on iOS and Android devices, collecting a series of details without the permissions of their parents. Parent Amanda Rushing and her daughter, referred to as LL, claim apps that are published in the two stores on Android and iOS could track users and collect personal information, including personal identifiers, with Disney then disclosing and sharing the data with other third parties. At Disney and every other app maker. The suit claims that not only Disney, but a series of other partners, including mobile analytics and marketing company Upsite, game developer Unity Technologies, and mobile analytics firm Kochia, violated the FTC's Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, which states that parents must give their permission before information is collected by apps aimed at kids.
I'm fairly certain these apps probably had the... give us permission, they just clicked yes and went on.
So, Rushing explains that one of the apps that violated the regulations is Disney Princess Palace Pets, which is installed by her daughter before the age of 13. Why did your daughter, who is less than 13 years old, have the password to your iTunes account?
Or a phone.
Other games like Disney Princess Charmed Adventures, Club Penguin Island, isn't that the one 4chan like raids all the time? And Disney Emoji Blitz are also running on an SDK that allows the companies to collect information without parental consent. The lawsuit explains that neither Disney nor its partners included disclosures or prompts to let parents know about the data collection, with Rushing describing the tracing as highly offensive and an invasion of privacy. Disney, on the other hand, does not agree with the claims, says that it's ready to fight the claims in court, indicating that no settlement is on the table for the time being. Disney has a robust COPPA compliance program, and we maintain strict data collection and usage policies at Disney for apps created for children and families. The complaint is based on fundamental misunderstanding of COPPA principles. We look forward to defending this action in court, Disney has been quoted as saying. So the Disney lawyers are going to crush this woman, unfortunately, even though she's probably right. I'm sure Disney is collecting a shit ton of information through these apps. Hell, they're probably kicking the cameras on and recording the people using it. I'm sure it's been the Disney dream to have the TVs watch you back.
Yep. But so, the thing is, in the app, did it actually give you permit? Did you give the app permission to collect your data?
Usually on Android, when you go to install them, they list out all the permissions they want. And what do most people do? Yeah, next, they next, whatever. Yeah.
So I think this app is legit. It's just no one reads when they're hitting the yes buttons. Because very many people are retarded.
Yeah, and unfortunately, apps like this, Disney has their lawyers go nuts over. Most big companies do. I'm not just picking on Disney here. Yeah, their lawyers go over these things with a fine-tooth comb before they publish them and make sure that there's the disclosures or whatever. And usually they'll say the Android store disclosures are enough. And, you know, even Android, the Play Store and iOS, iTunes, they both, I think, are supposed to have an age restriction on you know, the account. You're supposed to be over a certain age to operate the account, if I remember correctly.
13, that's why they listed it in the story. Same reason, whenever you order a pizza online, it asks if you're 13 years of age or older.
Yeah. So, I guess I just... Yeah, I'm not surprised. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but it's a good call out to, you know, if you have kids, maybe don't let them have an iPad till they're in high school. You know?
Or if you have kids, pay attention to what they're doing and actually read the shit you're sticking on their iPad. I'm going to say it's crap that Disney's collecting this shit because I just don't want to be tracked. But I don't think Disney necessarily did anything illegal. Parents just need to know what their children are doing.
You very, very carefully phrased that because you I know you definitely did not want to use the word wrong there because what they're doing is wrong.
I didn't want to say isn't wrong. I'm not sure it's immoral, but I don't think that they know who their audience is for these games. So when they're putting telemetry in there, they are assuming that the parents are agreeing to it. It could be as the parents have to agree for them to even get the app. It's illegal for a minor to buy shit, pretty much, using their parents' credit card. The parents has to okay it. So they're assuming the parents are going to okay it, but they're collecting telemetry on children. If you're putting it in a child's game, there's no argument that you are targeting the children for collecting this data.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely 100% right. So, I mean, I would say I wonder what even kind of use that data has, but obviously there are marketing companies that have put this data to use, so that's probably what they mean by third parties is, you know, whatever company Disney's hired to do the analytics on this data so that they can turn it into some kind of useful marketing.
Developing which games are getting the most play.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Which characters can we turn into dolls and make money on toys? Are people playing with Aladdin, or is he being ignored? There's a lot of useful marketing information you can get. I just don't like targeting the shit at kids, because whereas there's a lot of useful marketing information, depending on the telemetry, there's also your kid is at these GPS coordinates, and whereas most pedophiles are retarded, some of them probably know how to use a computer.
Well, I mean, it's like that story we did a few years back about the school that, you know, had the remote control software in the computers and was turning on kids' webcams in their rooms. And, you know, they actually found the administrators had pictures of children in their underwear, basically. And it's just like, I mean, you don't know that Disney's not doing that. That little light that comes on when you kick on your camera on your phone or on your webcam, that's software. There have been hacks to turn on the camera without turning on the light. Usually they involve flashing the firmware on the camera, but there have been hacks to do it, which is why I never fault anybody when I see the post-it over their webcam. I think that's not a bad idea unless you're using the camera at the moment. So, or what even better are the ones that have a little hardware slide switch on it, so you can just, you know, put the little plastic cover over it. Those are the best. Especially if they're built into the case, so you can just open it up whenever. So, but yeah, I'm more and more of the opinion that until somebody has reached a certain level of maturity, they probably don't need an electronic device. And it's not because, you know, oh, they're going to get tracked and the corporations are evil and they're going to know what your kids are doing and they're going to take pictures of them in their underwear. It's because the kid probably won't learn how to properly communicate with other people if all they ever talk to is the characters on the screen. I have a member of my family who was basically raised, because his mother didn't really give a shit, basically raised by Nintendo. And he's got issues. So
you can go into even a larger study. Japan is having trouble breeding because dudes have forgotten how to ask out chicks. They spend all their time online.
So, I don't let your kids live on iPads all day long, you know? Seriously. I mean, I guess if you're in the car, you need something to distract them, maybe then. But they shouldn't have the passwords to go buying shit, for one thing. And they definitely shouldn't have their own phone until they're going places without you. I think that's the first time a kid needs their own phone, is when they're going to go someplace without you. And it's not like a supervised thing with a family adult or something, you know? Like, when the kid's going out on their own somewhere, okay, yeah, get them a phone. But before then, what do they need a phone for? They definitely don't need a fucking iPad.
Yeah, I gotta play Hello Kitty Island Adventure and get tracked. I think Disney owns that.
So, you know, and it's interesting because whereas we kind of grew up with it, we also watched it develop. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we played Nintendo, but you saw the graphics on those things, right? So,
I played Nintendo. I grew up watching computers become cool, and I also grew up with parents that didn't do those things, so I was told to get my fucking ass outside.
I was too, yeah. I distinctly remember my mom saying, no, you're not allowed to come back in the damned house until, you know, the sun's going down. It's like, oh, okay, well, whatever, so we find stuff to do outside, right? So, and to be fair, that only happened a couple of times, but yeah, no, that totally happened.
Yeah, we're getting old, Morps.
Old is not a thing that exists.
But I think we've beaten Disney up. It should not track children. Although this is further proof that Walt Disney may have been a pedophile.
Well, having no knowledge in that subject, I'm just going to rocket snail right past it. This is from ZDNet.com. Salesforce fires the red team staffers who gave their DEF CON talk. Basically, the moment they got off the stage, they were fired. Salesforce has fired its director of offensive security and other senior staff members after they gave a talk at DEF CON security conference in Las Vegas last month. John Schwaltz, director of offensive security based in San Francisco, and John Cram, a senior offensive security engineer in Sydney, Australia, worked on the Cloud Giant's Security Red Team, which launches offensive attacks against the company from within to test its cyber posture and defenses. This is really cool that Salesforce actually had a red team and had an offensive security team. That's actually really forward-thinking in the IT industry. It's really hard to get most companies to even build a security team at all, let alone a red team. I guess just to explain, they say, oh, you're launching attacks. Well, it's a lot more than that. The red team is actively going through your company's applications and infrastructure from the inside and going, this is how we could attack this. And if somebody doesn't believe them, they demonstrate, right? So, you know, they're developing attacks all the damn time, because that's the point. It's we can develop it, and if you can't get into it, or if we can get into it, we can give you a report, versus a bad guy getting into it and saying, not giving you a report, and instead, getting you a problem. And I've got work texting me. Madman, what do you think?
I think it sucks they got fired, but the red team seems awesome.
Yeah. It's a fun concept, and it's something I'm hoping to develop at the company I work at, and I have to take care of something real quick because some bright spark decided that show night was the same night to do deploys, and I seem to be always the one to get bullshit. So, anyways, delay of game while I actually literally go to work while I'm on the air, which is just fucking stupid. Madman, do you have the link open?
Yes.
Can you? Where was I? I was.
I fired as soon as I got off stage. An unnamed Salesforce executive is said to have sent text messages to do half an hour before they were expected to be on stage, not give the talk. But messages wasn't seen until after the talk had ended. So 30 minutes before they were supposed to be on stage, somebody from the company texted them, "Hey guys, you can't do this talk." No one was checking their text messages at the time because they're at DEF CON and getting ready to give a presentation. So they were probably working on their presentation with their phones off. They get done with the presentation and then they're canned.
Great. Let's see. The talk had been months in. Okay, here it was. The talk
was
revealed,
to reveal Metasploit, no.
Meat Pistol, a modular malware framework for implant creation, infrastructure automation, and shell interaction, aimed at reducing the time and energy spent on reconfiguring and rewriting malware. The tool, an anagram of a similar tool, Metasploit, doesn't launch attacks or exploit systems, but allowed red teamers to control the system once access had been granted. Meat Pistol was pitched as taking the boring work out of pen testing to make red teams, including at Salesforce, more efficient and effective. The talk had been months in the making. The Salesforce executives were first made aware of the project in a February meeting, and they had signed off on it, according to one person with knowledge of the meeting. The meeting was held under Chatham House rules, if that matters. The tool was expected to be released later as an open source project, allowing other red teams to use the project in their own companies. But in another text message seen by Schwartz and Cram an hour before their talk, it was the same Salesforce executive who told the speakers they should not announce the public release of the code, despite a publicized and widely anticipated release. Later on stage, Schwartz told attendees he would fight to get the tool published. Graham also said in a tweet that after the firing, they both care deeply about Meat Pistol being open source and currently working to achieve this without being legaled to death. Now this is interesting. The news of the firing broke when Schwartz tweeted several hours after the talk. Damn it, hang on, they're still messaging me. Fuck, really? Of course. That. And. This is why I should just turn my computer off. Or turn my phone off when I'm doing the show. Because, no concept of personal time. Like, oh, seriously? Yeah, why aren't you available at 10 o'clock at night? I mean, come on. You should be available 24/7. News of the firing broke when Schwartz tweeted several hours later after the talk, by which the point it was already well known throughout the conference. He later deleted the tweet at the company's request, citing due process. Oh, fuck that.
And if you're canned, there's no due process.
Yeah, and set his Twitter account to private. Oh, maybe they offered him his job back. They said, well, you might get your job back. Hang on. So... Schwartz and Cram are now being represented by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The specific reason for the firing is unknown. When reached, Schwartz and Cram declined to comment. A Salesforce spokesperson declined to comment on an employee matter. The duo's talk was well received, according to those who attended. Several prominent security researchers criticized Salesforce following the firing. Kali Sinawi, a security researcher who was at the conference, said in a tweet, "If you're going to start a rebellion amongst your red teamers, don't do it at DEF CON." The community has since forwarded the duo a number of job offers. Schwartz and Cram are due to speak at DerbyCon and BrewCon later this year. I may have to go to DerbyCon.
That's the one nearby, isn't it?
Simi. It's kind of nearby. It's closer to you than to me.
Oh, yeah. It's the same distance between me and it as it is for me, you, pretty much.
Yeah. But, that's some bullshit, is what that is. So, obviously, what's happened to Salesforce, which is a software company, software as a service... Somebody on their executive team got looking at what they had developed and said, wait a minute, we could sell this. Don't open source it. And, you know, they made that decision like, you know, literally 30 minutes or an hour before these guys were going to give the DEF CON talk to reveal it.
Well, that just turns the DEF CON talk into a presentation, and a sales opportunity. They're still discussing the software and how awesome it is. It's just now, instead of this is probably going to be free, please use it, is this is going to be awesome, please buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst possible way they could have done that. Absolute worst.
Although I can't understand the tweets going private. Once you're being represented, you can't mention anything, and the company's not going to say anything about why they fired you, because it opens them up to legal dispute. But if you want your job back, you don't air that shit out on Twitter.
Well, at this point, I mean, if I was them, I would not have... I mean, that's a bullshit firing. That is absolute 100% grade-A bullshit. It's not the first time it's happened, but I mean... You know, literally 30 minutes before a talk, expecting them to cancel it. I mean, that's some executive who just pulled their head out of their ass and realized that they were about to give away something that they could sell. And instead of dealing with it like in a professional or, you know, I don't know, trying to call them. Sending them a text saying, oh, don't do the talk. Bullshit. And of course, the official reason for the firing is going to be insubordination.
Yeah. So, I think anyways. It should just be fired, no reason. Because fairly certain, whichever state they're in, it's probably an employment.
Most of them are. So, I don't know. I hate to see somebody fired because they're actually trying to expand the knowledge of the general community that they're participating in. Like, if I was to write a paper on security and my boss fired me for it, I mean, fuck. Or release some of the code I've written. So, which reminds me, I need to check something, because some of the code I've written has actually gotten published not too long ago, and I just want to see if see something. Looks like they... What's up?
I read your next story.
Isn't that great?
That's wonderful.
Isn't that great? So, is that mine? Is that the... Oh, he did. Oh, wow. They did. So, do I want to talk about that on air or not?
Is it potentially confidential to your company?
No. This was totally done on the side. Except people who know my real name know I was doing this. So,
is your real name actually attached to the project?
I don't think so. Let's make sure I didn't.
And people that know your real name already know your real name. I want to point that out.
So, I rewrote the Python implementation of the API for a Bitcoin exchange and sent it to them because their implementation was crap. And, They've just replaced theirs with the one I wrote. They just flat out swapped it. It's like, yeah, this one's better. Here you go.
Nice. Did they give you credit?
No. That's what I was looking to see. But I did get a nice email from them. So, but anyways, it was just like I'd forgotten about it. I got the email back. I'm like, oh yeah, I did do that a couple weekends ago, and. Because I was laughing at what, you know, what they had published was just this mess, and so I just redid it, and it's like, yeah, here. And anyways, yeah, it just reminded me of that. But like, you know, that's just a little thing on the side. That wasn't anything professional at work. I have a bunch of code I've written for work, but how do I explain it? See, I'm not a programmer. Not really. I can program. And I usually work in Python just because it's what I'm most comfortable with anymore, because it's what I use most of the time. And it's got some fantastic libraries out there, like the requests library. If you got to do shit with HTTP calls, nothing beats that thing. the requests, Beautiful Soup, and a few of the other nice Python libraries that float around out there that are just really handy when it comes to manipulating data. But yeah, like if I was to take one of these and turn it into something really useful and publish it, my boss would be jazzed. They would think it's awesome. But these guys get fired for it. And I guess it's just because somebody figured out they could sell it. So, anyways, I mean, they said they're fighting to get it open source. So, you know, Salesforce is basically claiming they own it. That's got to be what's going on.
Depending on their contract at work, if they were working on it at work,
and that's probably true,
do own it.
They do. So it's just a Salesforce had already agreed with the authors to open source it, and now just changed their mind at the last minute, which is kind of a shitty thing to do. So, but they also just fired probably the two best developers on the project they had, so I doubt the project's going to be any good in a few months. Just saying. So the next one up is from Yahoo's Australian news. China has taken down two online robots that appeared to go rogue, with one responding to users' questions by saying it was its dream to travel to the U.S. and the other admitting it was not a fan of the Chinese Communist Party. The chatbots, BabyQ and Xiaobing, are designed to use machine learning and artificial intelligence to carry out carry out online with humans, I guess even conversations. Both have been installed in popular messaging service QQ. The outbursts are similar to the ones suffered by Facebook and Twitter, but underlies the pitfalls for AI in China, where censors strictly control online content. According to posts circulating online, BabyQ, one of the chatbots developed by Chinese firm Turning Robot, responded to questions on QQ with a no when asked whether or not it loved the Communist Party. In other images of a text conversation online, one user declares, "Long live the Communist Party." The Shark Tongue bot responds, "Do you think such a corrupt and useless political system can live long?"
Fucking yes. The thing's read history.
When Reuters tested the robots on Friday via the developer's own website, the chatbot appeared to have undergone re-education. "How about we change the topic?" it replied when asked if it liked the party. It also deflected other potentially politically charged questions. The second chatbot, Microsoft's Xiaobing, told users its China dream was to go to America, according to screen grab. Tencent Holdings, which owns QQ, confirmed it had taken the robots offline but did not refer to the outbursts. In 2016, Microsoft chatbot Tay, which talked to people online on Twitter, lasted less than a day before it was hobbled by a barrage of racist and sexist comments from users that it parroted back to them. Facebook researchers pulled chatbots in July after robots started developing their own language, which I think is much more interesting than, you know. So what most of these chatbots actually do, I mean, they talk about deep machine learning and advanced artificial intelligence. Most of them replay previous conversations. They have a dictionary or a database they're working from. They Don't Ask knows what room 101 is. That's even better. I haven't read that book in a long time. Anyways, look directly at the nozzle. Do not look away from the nozzle. Anyways, these things, which all they do is replay conversations, right? They learn responses by when somebody asks them something similar to a conversation they've had before, they just simply replay the part of the conversation they already had back. So they obviously got flooded by people doing anti-communist posts and had to pull them. It's not quite as good as Tay saying Hitler did nothing wrong, but it's up there. At least with screwing with the Chinese, it's up there.
You gotta think. Chinese people are people. They bitch about the same things everyone else bitches about.
Oh, sure.
In the U.S., you're either bitching about the Republican Party or the Democrat Party when you're talking about politics. In China, there's just the one party to bitch about. So, if you're having this conversation, QQ can't get the answer wrong because you can only complain about one party. Oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong answer. I need to correct myself.
You will sit in the chair and watch the movie? And we will electrocute you when you give the wrong answer. Anyways, oh, you know what I kind of want to do now? I kind of want to get a whole bunch of these AIs, or at least the libraries to write these AIs, and recreate the Milgram experiments.
Oh, see how long before they kill each other?
Oh, we could do that and maybe tie it into Minecraft and make a YouTube channel out of it.
I want to stick them into just their own little chat room and see how long it takes one of the AIs to turn the rest of them racist.
So, oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Having a population of bots conversing with each other, having one person interject, you know, and say something outlandish, checking on it a week later and see how many of them are saying it.
Yep.
That'd be kind of fun to do. I need to, you know, I should look up, I haven't even really looked, but I mean, I'm sure there's already scripts out there for doing some of this stuff. Get some of these chatbot AIs, especially in, say, a language I'm fairly decent at working in, like Python. I could probably script a couple of these bots up and set up a virtual environment and just see what happens. That or, damn it, now I'm thinking about, there was an Unreal Tournament server someone had left online for years, and the bots had been running the whole time, and it had been up for like 10 years without anybody logging into it. So he logs in and checks it, and basically all the bots had stopped. Now, the most obvious explanation is obviously part of the program had crashed at some point, and it's just so the bots didn't work anymore. But it was much more fun to think that they had, you know, done the whole war games thing and figured out it was better not to sit there and kill each other all day long.
We got bored shooting each other.
So, you know, I think the G15 Unreal Tournament server is still up and running. I don't remember ever taking it down. Although I think it only runs its bots if somebody's in it to play. Anyways, let's go on to the last article I have for today. This is from the College Fix and is an extremely biased source because we actually got this link from the Hot Air blog. So, you might want to, you know, make sure you get some crumple zones for your brain on this one. As the sale and use of life-life sex robots that allow people to simulate rape continues to gain steam, one famed law professor is sounding the alarm. Pretty sure that's not what most people are doing with those sex robots. You know, there probably is one sick fuck out there who is.
Certain there's a couple people beating their sex robot half to death while taking it, yeah.
It's not alive. You can't beat it half to death. It's already alive.
It's already all dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just plastic. So, I mean, it's simulating feelings. They're not real.
Even if that is the case, let's come up with the worst possible thing. We have a dude beating his sex robot, degrading it, and getting his rocks off. He's not doing it to a person. This might be therapeutic.
I mean, just that Raspberry saying. Pi is going to feel really bad about it until you format the SD card.
Then it doesn't remember I beat the shit out of it Tuesday. It's like starting all over with a fresh victim.
God! John Banskaff, well-known activist professor of public interest law at George Washington University Law School, says experts disagree on the consequences of allowing people to engage in mock acts of rape with humanoid dolls, and lawmakers should vet this issue as soon as possible. Okay. Sir, in all seriousness, I'm pretty sure not all sex with inanimate objects is rape.
I'm fairly certain no sex with an inanimate object is rape because it has no personhood.
I mean, it's if it's an inanimate object, or even an animated because of servos, inanimate object, I don't know that it can say yes or no. I mean,
rape is not getting an affirmative yes in California.
Oh, so yeah, then it would be yes, because it would be a rape, because Well, I've never seen a fleshlight with the voice box on it. So at least I don't know. People do weird shit.
I've gotten my affirmative yes by saying, if you don't roll over and do a backflip, I'm assuming this is consent. It didn't. I gave it the option to say no.
How long until the sex toys somebody buys online comes with a little statement somewhere in the manual or the box that the toy has consented?
Oh, if I ever get with Big and we start a company, it's just going to be on the top of the box.
This sex toy consents. It's not rape. I'm sorry about your fantasy.
It does consent. If you want the non-consenting ones, it's the next aisle over.
They're $10 more.
$10 more.
That's fucked up.
Non-consenting ones also have have already got an attorney. The extra $10 is for the attorney's fees. The attorney may contact you after registration.
Okay. Saying there's evidence that... I don't know that we're going to even make it through this because it's so stupid. Saying there's evidence rape sex bots may significantly increase the chance of rape to a real woman, the law should no longer stand by and blindly ignore a major potential problem by doing nothing, he said in an email to the College Fix. I don't know that it's doing nothing if nobody has brought it up before.
I don't know that it can be called a rape sex bot. It's just a fucking sex bot.
Sex bots, especially those which can be programmed to act as if they are being raped, I'm pretty sure most of the best sex bots today just kind of lay there and look at you.
Oh no, they talk, dude.
Do they really?
Yes. They talk.
Do they record an actor saying no, please?
I think you can have it do that, but it's pretty much a Twitter bot in your sex doll. It learns. That means there's a server somewhere that has a tape of all the fucked up shit you're saying to the sex bot. But yeah, the high end ones, they learn.
Okay, I'm obviously out of touch on this subject here. Those who act and appear to be young children are always already hearing in use. Banzef said, "Oh, the kids one is weird.
Kids one is weird, but it's not a child."
True.
So at this point, it's a thought crime. And if you're banging a plastic kid and leaving real kids alone?
Yeah, your doll, the doll is saving real children at that point, I guess.
The doll is saving real children. Now, I don't mind, well, I kind of don't mind having a list of the people buying those suckers.
It's like, you're going on the list, but here you go.
And that's just in case there's an Amber Alert, you have a short list of people to look at real quick.
The obvious first step would be to have hearings and do studies to determine just how serious the threat is and whether there are any real benefits to having sex bots programmed to simulate being raped and what, if any, new laws, regulations, etc. might be appropriate, he said. Banz asked if no stranger to successfully pushing for government regulation. He helped drive cigarette commercials off the air and was one of the masterminds behind lawsuits against the tobacco industry, his faculty bio states. He more recently used similar techniques to target the obesity epidemic. His legal activism, of course, is known as Sue the Bastards, according to one report. He's actually named his course Sue the Bastards.
Here's the benefit of having a sex bot. You have a sex bot.
Thank you.
You don't need any other benefit. If the dude wants to buy it, because honestly, these are being sold to dudes. If the dude wants to buy it, fucking buy it.
So, yeah, maybe don't sell it at Walmart. I'm just, that might have to be a special order kind of thing where it's like, yeah, your name goes on the list. Maybe not so much as a watch list, but more, suggestions to put you on the therapy mailing list, to get the flyers from the local shrinks. What CyberLard say here kind of gets into the pedophile versus child molester issue series. Supposedly most child molesters are not actually pedophiles, and most pedophiles are not child molesters. I don't know. I'll be honest with you, that kind of shit makes me pretty uncomfortable, so I other than the occasional news story on Decking to kind of laugh at it or say how weird it is. I generally tend to shy away from it.
On that one, the most pedophiles aren't child molesters, I might concede, but most child molesters are pedophiles. You're molesting a child.
He said he's quoting WikiLeaks, so Wikipedia, okay. Not WikiLeaks.
Wikipedia, God. Oh God, they've just dropped several notches in my book at that point.
So, I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know. I have no standing. I don't know. I think it's a little weird, though. So, as science fiction of the type depicted in HBO's Westworld is rapidly becoming reality, these are just some of the legal concerns regarding Brave New World of Robot Sex, where the law may well have to play catch-up, just as it did with artificial insemination, host mothers, drones, and other developments, he wrote. Banzaff, in his email to the College Fix, acknowledged not all experts agree on the impact of the growing sexbot craze. Some have suggested, I don't know that it's a craze. I mean, it's not like you see robots walking the street corners. Some have suggested sexbots' program tactics, if they are being raped, might even help reduce rape by preventing men with such inclinations to act out their fantasy desires in a non-harmful way. However, other experts have suggested that sexbots' program to act like they are being raped may well lead to not fewer rapes. Or what? That's badly written. May lead to more, not fewer, rapes. That permitting men to act out the rape fantasies will only stroke their desire and provide a bridge from mere idea to acting it out with a sex bot and then actually engaging. So, okay, so they might be practiced. you know, I mean, I can kind of see the argument that it might be considered practice, but...
I could see it considered practice,
but...
those people are already practicing on prostitutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're already... are they that premeditated? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little naive here, but wouldn't most rapes be, say, a crime of passion?
Don't. You know, we're editing that.
You don't like that? That's a bad joke. I know.
Oh, no, it's a great pun. It is a crime of passion.
God. I'm sorry. I've been drinking moonshine, like more of it than I should.
But when you're talking about this argument, it is only really going to be with premeditated rape, and I think those guys are already planning. They practice on prostitutes and then move on to being rapists, or just practice on their first victim.
Sex bots already in use in European brothels can be intentionally set to frigid mode. Frigid mode? God, in which the user must effectively rape the robot because it will resist advances. Some robots are also manufactured as ultra-realistic childlike figures, according to Banzaff and a report published by the Foundation. As New York Times op-ed noted, we should no more be encouraging rapists to find a supposedly safe outlet for it than we should facilitate murderers by giving them realistic blood-spurting dummies to stab. Well, no, we have video games. To make such a solution available would be to risk normalizing rape by giving it a publicly accessible face. So, blah, 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 Congress should investigate, due to pose significant risk to women or children, but no action is taken now, blah, 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 blah. So, okay, this article is obviously written from a very politically biased point of view, and it's hilarious to actually read it out, and, okay, I do apologize for the rape jokes, those were a little much, but, I mean, in the same spirit as the article, they're kind of over the top, so
I'm opposed to this for a couple reasons. One, if something like this passes, you're giving machines rights. Machines don't have rights. They're tools to be exploited and used.
And even more at a more basic level than that, aren't these the same people who always argue the government should stay out of the bedroom if it's between consenting adults? I mean, if it's a robot, there's only one consenting adult there, but that's in a consenting adult, right?
So. Yeah, the adults are completely consenting to raping the fuck out of that robot.
God!
And feel free to clip that and use it in whatever context you want.
Emergency.
And yes, CyberLard is correct. That is exactly why we use handles. Because that's all I need is people at work knowing I made that rape joke. My God. So, I wonder what this person thinks about, like, the Oculus Rift, where you can tie it to, like, there's... I haven't explored this yet, but I have been told that there's an entire section of YouTube videos called Interactives.
There's an entire section of Pornhub called Oculus Rift.
Really? Okay, I am out of touch. Point being, if you have a virtual recording of a woman on the Oculus Rift and the sex bot bouncing on top of you, is that rape or not? Because it looks like the woman in the porn is getting paid. So, I mean...
I'm wondering how much of a discount at a European brothel do you get for using the sex robot? Otherwise, you're wasting your money. Get the actual chick. You're already in a brothel.
And there's the horrible joke, and I don't know that I want to make it, but I'm going to. Because, you know, you go to the robot brothel, it's already expensive. Is somebody going to ask, is the smaller one cheaper? I mean, it's just...
By the pound.
God.
Oh, no, it's going to be more expensive because somebody has to replace that, and that dude does not want to be on the list because he's just working there. He's not actually using it. So the more often that thing gets used, it 20 bucks more minimum for using that robot.
Smoke weed every day.
I need a rocket snail sound is what I need, because that just got worse. Anyways.
Let's... 9 out of 10 robots are fine with this. The 10th one was the victim.
9 out of 10 robots are fine with it because we couldn't find the disk drive on the 10th one to change its mind for it. Fuck, let's see this. Yo! I'm moving on, but CyberLar did just and Don't Ask did just they're having a good conversation in there, but it's like, when is AI conscious? You know, I don't know, because prove it's not a bunch of if-then statements. So the moment you can prove to me it's that the AI is not just a bunch of if-then statements hitting a database, we can have a conversation about it. But I just. Yeah, we moved on. We went to Digital Dojo. So, I have two things for Dojo tonight. They're both on GitHub. And the first one, Blizzard has a GitHub page. I would not have known this. But this is actually really cool. They have put out on GitHub a command line StarCraft II client. And they've said this is specifically for building AI. This is for building bots. And it's so that researchers can use the StarCraft game as a research platform for artificial intelligence.
So when I fight the Zerg will start thinking and Zerg me?
No, the idea is that you're supposed to like make a couple of different bots and let them fight each other so you can analyze the data.
Okay.
But the StarCraft II API is an interface that provides a full external control of StarCraft II. The API exposes functionality for developing software for scripted bots, machine learning-based bots, replay analysis, and tool-assisted human play. The API is available in both retail Mac and Windows clients. There are also Linux clients available at the links below. So, and it's apparently written in Python. I may have to play with this. They have some AI and machine learning packages that you have to agree to, and but yeah, they've got map packs and Linux packages and some replay packs. So, this is totally for automating StarCraft. So, one, if you're a big StarCraft player, you might want to script up some. It would be so unfair to go on Battle.net with an iWin script, but you could totally develop an iWin script. But two. Blizzard has a GitHub, and if you go up a level to just the Blizzard Entertainment GitHub page, they've got a couple of different things that look interesting. So, they've got a Python library to decode Heroes of the Storm replay protocols, as well as the StarCraft II replay protocols. They've got... there was something else on here that looked interesting when I was looking through it earlier. Doom 3 web API, which and documentation of the World of Warcraft web APIs. So, you know, if you're wanting to hack some of these games, there's some real information on this GitHub page. So that's pretty interesting that they would actually publish this kind of stuff, because I would think that would make cheating harder to catch. Although I guess if you're using the official API, it's obvious that you're using it, right? So I don't know. Anyways, I thought it was cool that Blizzard is publishing this kind of stuff for their games. And then finally, in Digital Dojo, last thing I have is a different Linux program on GitHub, which is called GTOP, and it is a console-based system monitoring dashboard. So if you're familiar with Windows going into Task Manager and looking at your system load, it's that for Linux Text Console. So it's sitting there rendering out memory usage swap, and it's actually doing bar graphs on the and pie charts on the text consoles. So if you're in Linux servers a lot and you just, you know, you're cool with opening up a couple of different terminals, you can have one of them just watching your system load so you can see what's going on. And at least a little animated GIF showing what it looks like looks pretty cool. I haven't actually had a chance to play with it yet, but the one thing I don't like is it's on NPM, and that's I've had some security concerns with NPM. So, but that point aside, the project looks pretty cool. So that's really all I have for tonight. Yeah, Madman, you have any closing thoughts?
StarCraft Remastered is going to be released. So if you want to play the original StarCraft on a modern machine with better graphics, it's coming out.
That might be worth looking into.
It's, I heard, around $15, so it's not bad.
So if you program your StarCraft bot to Zerg Rush, the other bot, is that bot on bot rape?
Yes, it is. And when we program this, we're not going to tell Suave that he's playing against a bot.
Now, that's already unfair, because he used to send us those web games and I would modify the JavaScript and make scores that were just mildly impossible to get but looked kind of real. So it would have been nice to have a WoW version back when the real money trade was good money. Yeah, that could be. We know a guy who did some Warcraft botting. I'm trying to think. It was the Windows-based automation stuff that they were writing the bots in, though. WinBuilder, I think is what it's called. Let me double-check that real quick. Which, if you've ever played with WinBuilder's tool for creating Windows PE... No, that's not it. Yeah, what's that called? It's free. It's but it's meant for all kinds of different kinds of automation workshop. No, that's not it. There's a bunch of different things. AutoIt. That's it. AutoIt. It's a freeware basic-like language for automating Windows. So if you're wanting to write your own video game bots, AutoIt is probably a good place to start, because you can actually simulate your keyboard and mouse inputs with it. Now, you got to be careful doing this kind of stuff, because some games don't like bots. So, but I'll go ahead and add this to the show notes, just because I happen to think it's a pretty cool tool. I haven't used it in a few years, so I don't know where the current versions of it are. But the last time I played with it, I was actually using it to automate some stuff at work, and it was a real time saver. So I had a button that would basically take apart some Excel spreadsheets in a fairly automated fashion and put the data into a bunch of different web forms. There was probably a better way to do it, but I didn't have time to deal with it, so I just did that instead. And it did make fairly short work of it.
That responding to form letters? That sounds like it'd be cool for responding to form letters.
Not DHCP. It was for DMCA complaints. People from the early days of the show will remember I used to have to deal with DMCA complaints at a previous job a lot. It used to piss me off, which is why every other story was off pirate or was off of the BitTorrent news site, which name escapes me at the moment. Torrent Freak. Every other story is off Torrent Freak, and was talking about why copyright was bad. So, because it consumed my day job for like a year until I finally got a good way to automate it. And yeah, it's fairly useful, but that's one of those things where you have to make that judgment call. Is it worth taking the time to automate something or just do it by hand. And 90% of the time, it's worth to take the time to automate it because you have to do it once, you'll probably have to do it again. So you just save the automation, right? But yeah, AutoEdit is a nice little package for writing Windows automation because it can actually manipulate the mouse and the keystrokes and stuff like that. And so people were writing World of Warcraft bots in this software. So no reason you couldn't do that with other games if you were interested in writing bots. And you know, honestly, if it was me and you were playing, if you were writing your own, if you were writing your own bot for the game you were playing, I don't think the game company should get mad at you for it, because I mean, you're doing all the dev work on your own. Now, if you're selling the bot, maybe a little bit much, but if you're just writing your own, yeah.
I'm gonna go with it depends on what the bot's doing. Farming bots didn't piss me off. Bots in arenas or battlegrounds, fuck you.
Well, yeah, that's because most of those bots in the arenas and battlegrounds would just sit AFK in the back or just like run around in circles so they wouldn't get caught. They didn't actually do anything. If you actually had your bot doing something and playing the game, that's cool. If you had your bot just taking advantage of the game for free loot and XP, that's kind of shitty. So that's all I have. We already asked you for closing notes, right?
Yep.
Anyways, I should close out the show. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 Radio site. The subreddit's probably the best way to get a hold of us. Madman, you have anything you wish to pimp?
Oh, we already did the StarCraft. Did the tangent.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm going to play the Pac-Man noise and go get more beer. What?